हरे कृष्णा। With such a wonderful talk by His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, I felt we were being elevated to the spiritual world. And he quoted some from Vishnujan Maharaj. Vishnujan Swami had a program where he would go on a boat on the Ganges River in Bengal and chant the holy name all day long on the boat and stop at villages on the way and speak about Krishna and distribute books about Krishna. And once when I happened to be staying in Los Angeles for a while because I became sick in India, Srila Prabhupada was also there, and he received an issue of Back to Godhead with an article by Vishnujan Swami. And he remarked that Vishnujan Swami had such nice realizations because he spent so many hours every day chanting the holy names. In our last talk on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, we ended up in Calcutta. My parents had come to Calcutta to try to get me to come back to Chicago. But as His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj was speaking, I thought of another incident that took place in Calcutta that is very instructive and relevant to what Niranjan Swami Maharaj was saying. Srila Prabhupada left Calcutta to go to other places, and while he was away, the temple president became very preoccupied in a business that he had started to raise funds for the temple. But somehow in the course of his absorption in his business, there was some neglect of the devotees in the temple. And the temple really had almost no money. The devotees were just barely surviving. There was one sort of big-bodied devotee named Sudama. He, I believe, had belonged to a motorcycle gang called the Hell's Angels. And he was a strong person, but he was practically starving. So he would take the remnants of the ghee wicks that had been burned in the arti, and he would squeeze out whatever little ghee was left just so he could get a little more nutrition. So the devotees were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come back so they could explain the situation to him and get some help. And different devotees did meet him and speak with him. In India then, there were not very many devotees, and Srila Prabhupada allowed them to speak to him quite freely. So eventually Srila Prabhupada called a meeting of all the devotees to give them a chance to express their concerns. And one by one, they were speaking about their difficulties. At one stage, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was at the GBC, felt that they were criticizing him. And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, my only intention was to execute your will." But in that context, Srila Prabhupada replied a little sarcastically. Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "My only intention was to execute the will of your divine grace. Srila Prabhupada replied, "Is it the will of my divine grace that the devotees should be disturbed?" So Srila Prabhupada listened very patiently and sympathetically to what all the devotees had to say. And he formed a management committee to improve the situation. And he said that they should meet every week and discuss all the programs and problems and discuss how to do things in the best way. And then they should write their resolutions in a book and sign the book and then follow what they decided together. But at a certain point, Srila Prabhupada's mood seemed to change. He didn't want to hear the devotees complain too much. And he told them that as long as we are in the material world, there will always be problems. But if we focus too much on the problems, we will forget our real business, which is to become Krishna conscious. And instead of talking about Krishna, we'll be talking about all the problems. And then Srila Prabhupada spoke about himself and said how much he had suffered to spread Krishna consciousness. He suffered 2 heart attacks at sea on the way to America. And in America, he had a buzzing in his ears and he had terrible headaches. And he said to us, I do not even want to tell you how much I suffered, but I never complained. My principle was always everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And because that was my principle, everything for Krishna and nothing for me, I never had any complaint. Another time, years later, Surab Damodar Prabhu, who later became Bhakti Surab Damodar Swami Maharaj, spoke to Srila Prabhupada. And he told Prabhupada that I have just one program and I'm always struggling with so many problems. And you're managing the whole society, the whole mission. How do you deal with all the problems? And Srila Prabhupada replied, problems? I don't see any problem. I only see service to my spiritual master. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood and that was his vision. And certainly if we maintain that spirit, we will not find faults with other devotees or with external arrangement. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert in accepting service from devotees or potential devotees. When he first began at 26 Second Avenue in New York, there was a bum who used to come and hear Prabhupada speak sometime. And after hearing Prabhupada for some days, he got the idea about devotional service. And he was inspired to offer some service. So one day he came to the temple with some rolls of toilet paper. And he came forward to the front of the temple where Srila Prabhupada sat and deposited the rolls of toilet paper. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Just see, he has begun his devotional service." And as far as utilizing different things in devotional service, another time someone came and brought a bunch of Mayavadi leaflets. And Srila Prabhupada was very strong against the Mayavad philosophy. He often said, anyone who says that he's God, he is dog. So we were wondering what action Srila Prabhupada would take in protest to these Mayavadi leaflets. But Srila Prabhupada found a way to engage them in Krishna's service. And at the end of the program, when the devotees were distributing prasad to the guests, he had them hand out the Mayavadi leaflets for the people to use as plates to put their prasad on, just to engage even the Mayavadis. An interesting event took place sometime later in Mayapur, when Srila Prabhupada was there. Srila Prabhupada had taken prasad, and his servant had taken the plate with his remnants into the next room. And soon thereafter, Srila Prabhupada heard the sounds of a major argument coming from the next room. So he asked his servant to find out what was happening. The servant returned and gave the report. Srila Prabhupada's more senior secretary said that he was sick and he couldn't digest the regular temple prasad, and so he wanted all of the remnants from Srila Prabhupada's plate because it was the only food he could digest. And the more junior secretary was arguing that devotees don't get Prabhupada's remnants and they should be distributed equally amongst all the devotees. And some of Srila Prabhupada's secretaries were very strong-willed. And these two in particular were very strong-willed. So they were fighting. Srila Prabhupada replied by saying that it is not enough just to be the servant of the spiritual master, but one should also be the servant of the other servants of the spiritual master. And he gave the example of the culture in Bengal some years earlier, at least, that when a sadhu would visit a village, all the villagers would come forward and want to take the dust from his feet and invite him to their homes and serve him. And because of the humble mood of the villagers, thinking that they have to serve the sadhu and please him, they made wonderful advancement. And the sadhu would think, why are they touching my feet? Why do they want to serve me? I'm just an ordinary living entity, fallen soul. And Srila Prabhupada said that because of the sadhu's humble attitude, he also made wonderful advancement. They all made wonderful advancement together. So Srila Prabhupada said we should have this humble mood of being the servant of the servants of the spiritual master or Krishna. In that particular case, Srila Prabhupada said that the more junior secretary should have let the more senior secretary have all the remnants. Also on the subject of judging other devotees, there was a situation that arose, I believe in New York, where there was a lot of, you know, judging and criticizing and finding fault. And Srila Prabhupada said that we should be very careful about judging other devotees because we never know what their actual consciousness is. And we may not be able to properly assess their consciousness just on the basis of their external appearance and behavior. And he told a story about a Brahmin and a prostitute who lived opposite each other on the same street. Some years later, I heard the same story in South India from a Brahmin there, so I imagine the story must come from the Puranas or some. So all day long, the Brahmin would sit in front of the window to his room with the Bhagavad Gita. And across the street, the prostitute would be doing her business. Her clients would come and she would entertain them. And one day, some calamity occurred and they both died. And the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas came. The Yamadutas to take the sinful one to Yamaraj to be judged and punished, and the Vishnudutas to take the purified one to the abode of Lord Vishnu, Vaikuntha. So the Yamadutas came to take the soul of the Brahmin, and the Brahmin protested. He said, "You're making a mistake. You're supposed to be coming for the prostitute, and the Vishnudutas are supposed to be coming for me." But the Yamadutas replied, "No, we're not making a mistake. Because all the time you were sitting with your Bhagavad Gita, you were looking out the window at the prostitute. And you were thinking, oh, now the man has come, now they're doing this, now they're doing that. And your consciousness was absorbed in those activities. So by your consciousness, you're fit to be taken to hell and punished." And the prostitute, all the time she was with her customers, she was looking out the window and thinking of you. And she was thinking, oh, the pious Brahmin, he's so fortunate. The whole day and night he's absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna and speaking the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And in this way, she was constantly absorbed in thoughts of Krishna's teachings and activities with his devotee Arjuna. And so by her consciousness, she's fit to go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada told the story to make the point that we should be careful about judging devotees or anyone. We don't know what their consciousness is. On the subject of that type of situation in a temple where there's quarreling and dissension, when Srila Prabhupada was asked on two different occasions, he gave two different answers, which are very complimentary. In one case, he said, if each devotee considers that he's the servant of the servants, then there'll be no fighting amongst the devotees. And in the other case, he said that the way to overcome the dissension and dissatisfaction and fractions was for the devotees to engage in common activities together. And as devotees, our common activities are basically chanting and hearing about Krishna, engaging in kirtan together and taking prasad together. He said if they engage in common activities together, then they'll come together. In relation to both accepting service from a person and not causing distress to any living entity, there was an incident in Indore, in the state of Madhya Pradesh in India. Srila Prabhupada had been invited with some disciples to have lunch at the home of a member of the royal family. And the most senior devotee in the party didn't come to the program because they were making life members. So we were served in a, you know, beautiful room with chandeliers and a big carved wood banquet table. And I ended sitting up, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was at the head of the table, and I ended sitting just at his right side. And I was very nervous because they served a really opulent feast. And I was trying to be very controlled because I didn't want Srila Prabhupada to think that this brahmachari was a sense enjoyer. And we all were quite prone to getting diarrhea. So I was also a little afraid of, but it was like really good prasad, but really rich. It seemed like it was drenched in ghee. Anyway, I got through the meal, and then the host's father, an old man, like grandfather, he was coming around with seconds of rasgullas. You notice how often rasgullas come up in my talks. It happens spontaneously. So you can just imagine what I'm thinking about all the time. So, you know, so he was coming around with the rasgullas, and everyone else was taking seconds. But I was refusing, because, you know, I was a brahmachari, I was being staunch, and I was showing Srila Prabhupada. But the man was actually, he really wanted me to take it. He kept insisting that I should have one more, and I kept refusing. Finally, Srila Prabhupada glanced over his, you know, glanced towards me. I mean, with great love and compassion in his eyes and voice. He said, "You can take a sweet to make an old man happy." So, I did. And I took that as that Srila Prabhupada wanted the old man who was serving the rasgullas to be happy. Although later, another devotee to whom I mentioned the story said that it might have also applied to Srila Prabhupada, that he would have been happy if I made the other old man happy. It was really instructive to be with Srila Prabhupada and to see how someone who was the world acharya, but at the same time a spontaneous devotee, responded in different situations. And on the subject of how Krishna, or a devotee of Krishna, magnifies the service of an aspiring devotee, there was another incident that took place in Bombay. At the time, Srila Prabhupada was still struggling to get the Juhu land and have a proper place to stay there. So in the meantime, he was staying at different homes of different friends of his. So one householder named Mr. P.L. Sethi was building a nice house in the Juhu scheme, not far from the Juhu temple. And the house wasn't completely finished, but it was finished enough for Srila Prabhupada and some of his disciples to stay with him. But one morning, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room discussing with his leading managers and even some guests from outside how to solve this problem of the land and how to... And suddenly a very sort of rough-looking man appeared at the door to Prabhupada's room. Which was upstairs on the first floor, above the ground floor. So, you know, I looked at him, I saw he had like a very dark complexion and a sort of muscular, sinewy build. He was just wearing a little simple white cloth around his waist.
Yes.
He was obviously a laborer. So we looked at him, and he walked in the room. He came right up to Srila Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada always sat behind a low desk on a cushion. And he placed on the table a bunch of flowers that he had collected from somewhere. He bowed his head down, and he got up and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved that he could not speak for some moments. He was just looking down, and he actually became choked up. And finally he spoke, and he said that, just see this man. How did he even know I was here? But somehow he heard that there was a saintly person in the house, and he went and he collected some flowers as best as he could, and he came and gave them as an offering. He said, I'm so much moved. And then he said, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram Prishvam Phalam Twayam Yome Bhakta Prayachati, that if one offers him even a leaf or a flower with devotion, he will accept it. And he said, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is moved even by a simple offering of a flower or a leaf. And I'm just an insignificant living entity. So how much more I will feel overwhelmed. So that is Krishna's nature, that is Srila Prabhupada's nature to take the smallest service and magnify it. And Srila Prabhupada said that there are different categories of devotees. He said in the lowest category, someone will find a slight discrepancy in someone's behavior and make a big thing out of it. In the next category, he'll see the good and the bad, both, but give more emphasis to the bad. Then in the next category, he'll see the good and the bad, both, and give equal consideration to both. And then the more advanced devotee, he'll see the good and the bad, but he'll give more importance. And the highest devotee, he'll see someone do a little service and make a big thing out of it. So, of course, we cannot, you know, artificially imitate someone on a higher platform. But by associating with more advanced devotees, we can learn from them philosophically how devotees should think and feel, and also see practically how they deal, and learn from them, you know, how to see the good in others, not to see the defects, and how not to demand anything for oneself. Well, the example that comes to mind is His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. But I'm really torn here, because I feel if I use him as an example, I'll cause him distress. But at the same time, if I do give the example, it'll be very purifying for us and informative. And knowing that his mood is always to encourage the other devotees, he might be willing to tolerate that discomfort. But at the same time, I was going to say, I don't want to put him in distress, but I already have, so so I better just finish it up quickly. So I had the opportunity to host His Holiness Niranjan Swami and serve him along with a team of devotees in California. And because of being spontaneously inspired by his presence, we all really wanted to give him the best we could. But once it came out that we hadn't provided him something that he could have used because we didn't know that he needed it. And two or three things came up like that. And I asked him, Maharaj, why didn't you say anything? And also, not only did you not say anything, but you didn't seem to be disturbed by it. And he replied, I don't feel I deserve any. That's why I don't ask. And that's why I'm not disturbed. I mean, that is really a Vaishnava. Anyway. So, so association. I get so much from the association of my God brothers who are so exemplary in so many ways. So we shouldn't think that we can learn only from our guru. We can learn from any devotee who is exemplary in any way. And part of being the servant of the servant is that you learn from the other servants whom you're serving. By their examples, by their behavior, by even small remarks that they make. It doesn't have to be like a discourse or a class. You can learn just from a few words or from a small action or gesture, and it's very purifying. Because we do come into the material world out of envy of Krishna. So envy is there, and it can be very deep-rooted, continuing for countless lifetimes. But by serving devotees and appreciating devotees and learning from them, from their exemplary behavior and words, we can become purified of that long-standing envy. Glorifying devotees is extremely purifying. In a way, it's easier to glorify Krishna because he's in a different category, or Srila Prabhupada, or our personal spiritual master. But to glorify our God brothers or God sisters is very purifying because they're, in a way, in the same category. And so it's, in a way, easier for us to fall into the bad ways of thinking, of being envious and competing and wanting what they have. And anyway, I really feel that after Srila Prabhupada's departure, it's really been the association of my God brothers that has been very, nourishing and encouraging and purifying for me. And here I recall an incident that an exchange I had with Tamal Krishna Goswami in Dallas after Srila Prabhupada had left. And he confessed to me, or admitted to me, that even with all of his association with Srila Prabhupada and having gotten first initiation from him, second initiation from him, and third initiation, sannyasa initiation from him, he still didn't feel that his relationship with Srila Prabhupada alone was enough to sustain him. And he said that he feels the need to have shiksha gurus in his life. God brothers whose instructions he takes very seriously. And then he named a number whom he considered to be his shiksha gurus. I don't remember all, but Shivaram Swami was one, Burijan Prabhu, some number, probably Govinda Maharaj. And at that time, I was in a different mood, because I had put a lot of faith in a few God brothers who had fallen down and left. And after those incidents, I practically vowed, I'm never going to put my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada. So I heard what Tamal Krishna Goswami said, and I took it seriously, but it went against my firm resolution never to put my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada. So the next morning, we went for the morning program, and after Mangal Arati, Tamal Krishna Goswami and all the devotees chanted japa in the temple. It was very intense japa. And there are a lot of nice pictures of Krishna Leela on the walls. And I was chanting, sort of going deeper. And this thought just became overpowering in my mind that what Tamal Krishna Goswami said is true. We can't do it on our own. I mean, I can't do it on my own, just on the basis of my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I do need shiksha gurus in my life. And then at that time, it came to me almost equally clearly that he was meant to be. I didn't want to disturb him during his japa, but at the same time I felt I just had to tell him. So I told him, I thought about what you said, and I believe what you said is true. I also need shiksha gurus, and I think you are meant to be one of them. He sort of, gave us like a sort of knowing glance and a little smile, and continued with our chanting. And I also told him the night before that I felt very isolated, because at that time in the movement, a number of leaders had actually had difficulties and left. And there was a lot of chaos in major geographical areas of the movement. So I was trying to deal with things in Mauritius and South Africa. And I wanted God brothers to come there. But they were also dealing with similar situation. England, France, I mean practically all of Europe, different parts of America. So I told Tamal Krishna Goswami, I really feel isolated in Mauritius and South Africa. No one comes there. I don't know where I'm going to get this association. He said, you have to go out of your way to get it. So if it has to be Kazakhstan, I'll come to Kazakhstan or Ukraine. But you all are really blessed, because Krishna does send senior devotees to visit. And, so now, I'll just come back to two more points from His Holiness Niranjan Swami's beautiful discourse and relate them to some experiences with Srila Prabhupada. Although in general we don't want to find fault with devotees, sometimes, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says the same thing, sometimes in order to protect a dependent devotee from bad association, we have to point out the faults of another person. In other words, because the association of devotees is so important, and the service of devotees is so important, we have to be able to distinguish between who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. And someone might be regarded as a devotee in sort of popular circles who may not actually be a devotee. He could be a pretender or a Mayavadi. And so we might have to point out who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if a preacher points out who is not a devotee, and if an ordinary person thinks that he, the preacher, is committing an offense, then the person who has that critical thought about the preacher, he's committing an offense, not the preacher. So Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay named Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel was from a Vaishnav family. And he talked like a Mayavadi sometimes. And when Prabhupada would accuse him of being a Mayavadi, he would protest and say, "No, sir, I'm a Vaishnav." So one day, Srila Prabhupada happened to criticize a famous religious figure in India that Dr. Patel revered. And Dr. Patel became very upset. And he was saying, "You cannot say this about that person." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I'm not saying. Krishna is saying. Namam duskritina mudha prapadyante naradama." That anyone who's not surrendered to Krishna is, you know, a fool, rascal, lowest of mankind. So I'm not saying, Krishna's saying. And Dr. Patel kept saying, "You cannot speak about him like that. He's a respected saint in India. You cannot talk about him like that." So the argument escalated. And it was a rare time. Srila Prabhupada was actually shouting at Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel was shouting at Prabhupada. And Dr. Patel, he was sort of a leader amongst his friends because he was like a little intelligent. He was educated in England. He was a doctor. But even his friends were like sort of catching hold of his arm and saying, "Swamiji has a heart condition. Don't upset him. They're trying to take him away." And he was shouting. Prabhupada was shouting. And we were all very disturbed. Anyway, they finally got Dr. Patel away from him. And then back at Juhu, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why do you tolerate him? And what is his actual position? I mean, is he a devotee? Is he a Mayavadi? What is he?" So Srila Prabhupada told a story about a man who could speak fluently in many different languages. He came to a place, but nobody could figure out where he was actually from. Because whatever language you spoke to him in, he would respond perfectly in the same language. So it was a big topic amongst the village people. Where is he from? So finally one man said, "I'll find out." So one day that man went, snuck up behind the man who spoke many languages, and he gave him a very hard slap on the back. And then that man began cursing in his original language. So So Srila Prabhupada said Dr. Patel was like that. He could speak like a Vaishnav, he could speak like a Mayavadi, he could speak like a nationalist, he could speak like a Sanskritist, he could speak many different languages expertly. But when I hit him where it really hurt, his real language came out. So then Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, well then, why do you tolerate him? And Srila Prabhupada replied, we have to engage everyone. I mean, that is real compassion. Of course, Srila Prabhupada accomplished many things in what he did. I mean, he also created a lot of interesting discussions for us to hear on his morning walks. And I think he actually liked Dr. Patel, and Dr. Patel actually liked him and respected him, but they just had that sort of relationship. And I guess the last story I'll tell also involves Dr. Patel. It showed how Prabhupada appreciated his disciples and protected them. When Dr. Patel first heard about the devotees, we had just come to Juhu, and we were living in very simple tents. And, you know, devotees were getting bit by mosquitoes, they were getting malaria, jaundice, so many diseases. Dr. Patel was really impressed by theirs. Sacrifice and surrender. And he wanted to take up a collection to give each devotee a thin mattress, a pillow, and a mosquito net. Oh yeah, and a blanket for the winter. So he was a proud man, but he went to the big cloth market in Bombay from stall to stall, and he took up a collection. And he presented eventually 12 sets to the devotees. We were maybe, you know, maybe 8 or 10 devotees we were. Well, if you've ever lived in an ashram, you know how it is. After a while, the one blanket went missing, two pillows disappeared, and gradually that, you know, hard-earned gift that Dr. Patel had begged for the devotees was down to just a few remnants. And finally, the last mosquito net, last pillow, last blanket, last mattress disappeared. So Dr. Patel brought it up to Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk. That with such difficulty he procured all the items, and the devotees didn't take care of them, and now nothing is left. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know the reason? The reason is they don't identify with the body. They don't care if they have a mattress or a pillow or a mosquito net or a blanket. As long as they can chant the holy name and serve their spiritual master, they're satisfied. And then he said, that mukti that you are so eager to get, they already have. So, you know, in a very skillful and intelligent way, he expressed his appreciation for the devotees, and he spoke in a way as to humble Dr. Patel and make him understand how exalted the devotees actually were. Of course, as we've matured, we've understood more about the principle of Yukta Vairagya, about taking care of Krishna's property, not for our sense gratification, but for Krishna's service. But still what Srila Prabhupada said was true. So he was merciful to us, his disciples, and he was merciful to Dr. Patel. He was merciful to everyone. He was an ocean of mercy. And if we can come close to that ocean and get, you know, have some waves from that ocean hit us and maybe eventually carry us into that ocean, our lives will be perfect. And we'll be able to splash others with some waves from that ocean. And they will also benefit. Hare Krishna.